You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, February 2, 2026. A little bit more. A big push is on to pipe more PADD 2 refined products east to PADD 1, published by Housley Carr. For the past several years, a potent combination of market developments has incentivized PADD 2 Midwest refiners and their midstream partners to move increasing volumes of gasoline and diesel east into Pennsylvania and other states in the Northeast. The limiting factors have been eastbound pipeline capacity and the concerns PADD 1 East Coast refiners have expressed to regulators about the potentially negative impacts of the shift in product flows. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss what's been happening lately on this front and how it's affecting refiners. We'll start with a brief, big-picture review of refining and refined product flows in the Midwest and Northeast. Since 2000, there's been a substantive buildup in refining capacity in PADD 2, a 17% gain in overall capacity and a 33% increase in delayed coking capacity. This has been driven primarily by the growing availability of favorably priced heavy sour crude being piped in from Western Canada. The Midwest now has more than 4.2 million barrels per day of refining capacity, including 1.5 million barrels per day in the four PADD 2 states closest to PADD 1, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, and Ohio, and produces more refined products than it consumes. Over the same 25-year period, refining capacity in the Northeast, almost all of it in Delaware, New Jersey, and southeastern Pennsylvania, has fallen by half to about 800,000 barrels per day. Most of the decline in PADD 1 refining can be tied to economics, including the lack of pipeline access to U.S. shale oil, but part of it is due to events, such as the devastating June 2019 fire at Philadelphia Energy Solutions' 330,000 barrels per day refinery in Philadelphia, which led the facility's owner to shut it down. The falloff in PADD 1 refining capacity has increased the Northeast's reliance on gasoline and diesel that is shipped in from elsewhere, waterborne imports for sure, but also piped in volumes from refineries in PADD 2 and PADD 3/Gulf Coast. While Gulf Coast refineries have provided the majority of these domestic movements, the economics of making refined products in the eastern Midwest and piping them east into PADD 1 are becoming more compelling. Over the past 15 years, several refineries in Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, and Ohio made significant investments in the delayed cokers and other equipment that enable them to break down price-discounted low-API, high-sulfur Canadian crude into valuable refined products. Much of the time, the cost of making those products and piping them east into the Northeast is lower than the cost PADD 1 refiners and other suppliers there can offer, sometimes considerably so, especially for gasoline. Also contributing to these economics is the trend toward an overall surplus of refined products in PADD 2 as in-region demand stagnates and refiners look to new markets. Note, a detailed forecast of regional supply/demand and resulting interregional product flows through 2050 is included in RBN's latest Future of Fuels report, which will be coming out in early February. But while that ARB encourages the eastbound movement of Midwest-sourced refined products into PADD 1, those flows are limited not just by the capacity of the eastbound pipes but also by how far east the flows can go. Next, we'll discuss the pipelines that can transport refined products from refineries in the eastern Midwest to western Pennsylvania, and from there east across that state and beyond. We'll start with the Ohio and western Pennsylvania portions of the extensive Midwest pipeline network owned by MPLX, a master limited partnership formed by refiner Marathon Petroleum in 2012. These include pipes to batch refined products to terminals as far east as Midland, Pennsylvania, about 25 miles northwest of Pittsburgh, and to pipelines owned by others. Significant volumes are also barged up the Ohio River from Catlettsburg, Kentucky, to the Pittsburgh market. Then there's Buckeye Partners, which over the past 10-plus years has been expanding its refined product pipeline network in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. The company's Michigan/Ohio Pipeline Expansion Project, or MOPEP, aka the Broadway Project, can now transport up to 80,000 barrels per day from Michigan and Ohio refineries to Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, about 10 miles northwest of Pittsburgh. From there, up to 40,000 barrels per day of refined products can flow as far east as the Altoona, Pennsylvania, area, along the western part of Buckeye's Laurel Pipeline, Yellow Line, which has been bidirectional between Coriopolis and Altoona since October 2019. Laurel can also move as much as 120,000 barrels per day west on that bidirectional section, but Buckeye is seeking to make an additional section of pipe east of Altoona bidirectional. More on that in a moment. In addition, Buckeye owns other refined product pipelines in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey that are not part of the MOPET Broadway or Laurel systems. Next up is Energy Transfer, or ET, whose 160-mile Allegheny Access Pipeline, Magenta Line, a combination of existing and new pipes in Ohio and western Pennsylvania, has since 2015 enabled up to 85,000 barrels per day of PADD 2 sourced gasoline and diesel to flow east as far as Delmont, Pennsylvania. In January 2022, ET completed the Pennsylvania Access Project, Pennsylvania Access, which involved the conversion of the section of the company's Mariner East 1 ethane pipeline from Delmont, Pennsylvania, to the Reading, Pennsylvania, area to refined product service. Pennsylvania Access's current capacity is 25,000 barrels per day, but ET has indicated it is expandable to 50,000 barrels per day. The combination of Allegheny Access and Pennsylvania Access allows refined products to flow east from PADD 2 refineries to other Northeast markets, including northeastern Pennsylvania and upstate New York, on ET's legacy Sunoco pipeline system, Legacy Line. As a group, the pipelines we discussed just above have provided refiners in the eastern Midwest with important new markets for their refined products, not just in Pennsylvania but in other parts of the Northeast. Figure 2 in today's blog shows the growth in pipeline flows of gasoline and diesel from PADD 2 to PADD 1 since 2010. Eastbound flows of diesel from Ohio to Pennsylvania exceed 30,000 barrels per day, and flows of gasoline aren't far behind. As things stand now, a portion of the refined product flows into western Pennsylvania still gets only as far as the Pittsburgh market. Much of the rest flows to the Altoona market in central Pennsylvania, and no more than 25,000 barrels per day, the current capacity of ET's Pennsylvania Access, moves east from there to Reading in Berks County, the birthplace of Taylor Swift, and points beyond, perhaps via ET's legacy pipelines. That may change soon, however. Buckeye Partners in December 2024 asked the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, for a declaratory order stating that the company could proceed with the conversion of Laurel Pipeline from the Altoona area to Sinking Spring, Pennsylvania, just outside Reading, to bidirectional service, with up to 80,000 barrels per day permitted to flow east as soon as Q4 2025. Buckeye asserted in its filing that the project would involve only routine pump and valve modifications, and would not violate the August 2019 settlement with the state's Public Utility Commission, or PUC, that allowed the company to make the Coriopolis to Altoona section of Laurel bidirectional. But that assertion didn't sit well with Philly area refiners and others. They asked the PUC to step in, claiming that making the Altoona to Sinking Spring section two-way would constitute a partial abandonment and would negatively impact the section's westbound capacity. The State Commission agreed to hear the dispute and FERC deferred to the PUC, which is expected to issue its decision any time now. As we see it, it's likely that, sooner or later, Buckeye Partners will be allowed to extend bidirectional service on Laurel Pipeline east to Sinking Spring, though a thorough airing of the issues before the commission could take some time. Finally, we should note that there's another, sort of related matter coming up at Pennsylvania's legislature. In November 2025, two members of the state's House of Representatives, one a Democrat and the other a Republican, introduced HB 2063, a measure that, if approved, would establish a clean fuel standard very similar to the Low Carbon Fuel Standard, LCFS, already in place in California, Oregon, and Washington state. The proposal would require fuel producers to reduce the carbon intensity, CI, of transportation and heating fuels sold in the state by 15% over 10 years, and establish a credit trading system that would encourage the production of lower CI alternatives like renewable diesel and biodiesel. The proposed law, which would negatively impact refinery economics in both PADD 1 and PADD 2, and likely consumer prices in Pennsylvania as well, has been referred to the House Environmental Resources and Energy Committee. A Little Bit More was written by Bobby Gosch and appears as the second song on side one of Dr. Hook's fifth studio album of the same name. The romantic love song was released as a single in June 1976 and went to number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The song was originally recorded by its author, Bobby Gosch, who released it on his third studio album, Sitting in the Quiet, where it appeared as the second song on side one. That album was released in February 1973. Personnel on the Dr. Hook single were Dennis LeCourier, lead vocals, Ray Sawyer, backing vocals, Rick Elswit, lead guitar, Jance Garfad bass, Billy Francis, keyboards, and John Walters, drums. The Dr. Hook album, A Little Bit More, was recorded in early 1976 at Glazer Brothers Studio in Nashville and produced by Ron Hafkin. Released in June 1976, it went to number 75 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. Two singles were released from the LP. Dr. Hook, also known as Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, is an American country rock band formed in Union City, New Jersey, in 1969, by Ray Sawyer, George Cummings, Billy Francis, and Dennis LeCourier. They signed a production deal with producer Ron Hafkin, who had placed two of their songs in the 1970 hit motion picture, Who is Harry Kellerman, and Why is He Saying These Terrible Things About Me? This caught the eye of CBS Records executive Clive Davis, who signed the band to his label in 1971. The band hooked up with writer Shel Silverstein, who wrote the songs for their first two studio albums. They released 11 studio albums, one live album, 23 compilation album and 30 singles, and have sold more than 10 million albums worldwide. The original band broke up in 1985, but LeCourier retains the right to use the name. 13 members have passed through the band since its formation. Drummer John Walters died in June 1997 at 52, bassist Jantz Garfat died in November 2006 at 62, keyboardist Billy Francis died in May 2010 at 68, vocalist Ray Sawyer died in December 2018 at 81, and guitarist George Cummings died in December 2024 at 86. Singer Dennis LeCourier has pursued a solo career since 1985, sometimes using the Dr. Hook name. He has released 3 solo albums, 1 live album, 2 compilation albums and 3 singles. He lives in Nashville and has written songs for Bob Dylan, Crystal Gayle, BJ Thomas, Willie Nelson, Jerry Lee Lewis and Olivia Newton-John.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.